World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Sadanan Dumayan, writing his column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's at the American Enterprise Institute, about the relationship between Delhi, India, the Republic of India, and the Kremlin, Russia, the Russian Federation, especially during these fraught times of the war in Ukraine and the apparent larger and larger threat out of the Middle East. Sadanan, a very good evening to you. I go right away to the statistic that's often cited when we talk about India and Russia, and that is arms trades, arms shipment. There was the story once upon a time that India, this is 20th century talk, depended entirely on the Soviet model. What are the facts today? Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you, John. It's a great question. So the short answer is that India still depends to a large degree on Russian weapons, but that dependence has reduced dramatically compared to even just a decade ago, let alone compared to during the Cold War when it was almost entirely dependent on Russian armaments. So the latest figures from this Swedish think tank SIPRI on this is that between 2009 and 2003, 76% of India's weapons, arms imports, came from Russia. And then in the most recent five-year period they have, which is 2019 to 2023, that had halved. So it had gone from 76 to 36%. So it's coming down very dramatically, but 36% is still a significant amount. It's still more than one-third of India's total arms imports. The second factor there is that on some, you know, high-end weapons, India is still dependent on Russia. For example, its only leased nuclear submarine was from the Russians, and India has bought the S-400 missile defense system. So there's a combination of bulk supplies, which has come down quite dramatically, but it's still high. And then you've got the higher-end weapon systems, where some of them for India remain Russian.
The hug. Now we go to the hug. A picture tells thousands of words, but where are we going with this? Narendra Modi hugged Vladimir Putin when his embassy to Moscow. It was accidentally ill-timed, but in any event, it led to Mr. Zelensky of Ukraine sending out what you'd have to say is an unambiguously hostile message. The hug, though, my understanding is that Narendra Modi hugs everybody. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. He does hug everybody. He hugged Zelensky at the G7 meeting about a month before his visit to Russia. Nonetheless, the optics, you know, the way it looks, you know, he was doing this at the time of the NATO summit. This was also around the time that the Russians had attacked a children's hospital in Kiev. And so, you know, maybe people who follow international relations very closely would point out that Modi is a hugger and he's hugged scores of leaders around the world. But nonetheless, the photo that people see all around the world is Modi hugging Putin.
Russia and China, on the face of it, presents a quandary for Delhi, because Delhi has been adamant ever since it broke with China over apps, over trade, over the contest in the High Himalayas. To my knowledge, that continues. Russia and China present a threat, or does Mr. Modi see everyone as a potential diplomatic success except for China? How do we regard this?
So, you know, the way the Indians view this, and they view the Eurasian landmass as having three great powers: China, Russia, and India. And they want to prevent China and Russia from ganging up together, because if that happens, particularly given China's very close relationship with Pakistan, India perceives that, with some reason, as a mortal threat to its own security. The only problem they have is that they, in my view, this is the point of my column, they cannot really prevent the Russians from getting closer and closer to the Chinese. The Chinese have, as you know, they have backstopped the Russian war in Ukraine. The Russians have become more and more dependent on China, not just for dual-use technologies used for weapons and spare and parts and so on, but also for stuff like, you know, their financial system has got a whole bunch of Chinese banks operating. So their energy flows, even though India is a big purchaser of Russian oil too, China is the biggest. So the Russians are basically already fully in bed with China, and I think the Indians are basically fooling themselves if they think that they can prevent this from happening.
Well, you've now answered the hard question. Why would India risk upsetting the Western powers? But did they actually upset anyone. I see that Mr. Garcetti had a message of amelioration. I didn't see any sharp words at NATO towards India, towards the hug. India is vital to the success of the 21st century. Who would condemn it except for China?
Well, I think that the official statements have been circumspect. You're right. You know, because people they recognize what India is trying to achieve over here, and the U.S. recognizes that it's better to have India on site than not. But I do think privately, both in the administration and elsewhere, there is a certain amount of, you know, dismay about this. And I think that there, you could certainly make the case that even if India needs to maintain some kind of relationship with Russia, that's pretty understandable if you sort of, you know, put yourself in their shoes. It wasn't exactly necessary to go about it in this way that was almost seen as a public humiliation of the U.S. administration. So I do think some of the criticism of India on this is quite valid.
I like the idea of someone being successful rhetorically in India by thumbing his or her nose at the United States. But the facts support, as you say, no nations are more important to each other than U.S. to India and India to the U.S. Has that changed under Narendra Modi? This is his third premiership.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm speaking on one side of that, which is that there is no country that's more important for India than the U.S. Because India faces this tense border situation with China. They have tens of thousands of troops eyeball to eyeball. There's been bloodshed in that border as recently as 2020. China is an aggressive power. It has very clear territorial ambitions on territory that India regards as its own. And under these circumstances, if India looks around the world, it looks at its old Cold War friend, Russia, but that's Russia is a pale shadow of its former self, and it's itself kind of under China's wing now. There's only one country that can help India in this very real confrontation with China, and that country is the United States.
I go along with confrontation to China, but in the United States, at least rhetorically, over these last decades, India is seen as vital friend to the United States. India is seen as the giant of Asia. The population, the age of the population, the potential, everything is in India. Is that perception not shared in Delhi? I thought the Indian government has a very high opinion of its future.
I think it's shared too much. I think that's part of the problem. I mean, part of the problem is that the, you know, Indian ruling elites and India's foreign policy class seems to think that, well, India is so important that whatever India does, you know, whether it's with Russia or anyone else, everyone else just is going to have to suck it up because India is so important. So the problem isn't that they don't believe it. I think the problem is that they believe it too much, and that sometimes it leads them to making, in my view, kind of strategically unwise decisions.
The Obama administration, many years ago, I believe it celebrated Narendra Modi's visit with a state dinner. What is the general understanding of the Biden administration? How has it regarded India? How has it treated India in that fashion?
So, you know, they're playing the long game, and I think that it's, you know, pretty much similar to previous administrations. They view India essentially as an important linchpin in Asia. It has more than 1.4 billion people, and they recognize that the shared concerns about China have been driving the U.S. and India together for more than 20 years. So the Biden administration is on, you know, it's on the same path as other administrations when it comes to this question. But there have been tensions too, right? Like we talked about that, the assassination plot of, a U.S. Sikh that was traced back to India. There have been some concerns in the Biden administration about democratic backsliding, minority rights. That's something we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. So these kind of things have been pinpricks. So, you know, on the whole, the relationship has been solid. People have been keeping their eye on the big strategic picture. But beneath the surface, there have been these pinpricks.
Sadanand Dume, writing his column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm Tom Bath.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,